ಗೌರವ ಅಂಗಜನ್ ರಾಮನಾಥನ್,
ಗೌರವ ಸಭೆಗೆ ತಲೆ ತಾಂಗಂ ಉರುಪಿನರವರ್ಗಳೇ, ಇಂದ ನಾಟಿಲ್ 30 ವರ್ಷ ಕಾಲಮಾಗ ತೊಡರ್ಂದ போர் முடிவுக்கு வந்த நல்லிணக்க முயற்சிகள் முன்னெடுக்கப்பட்டு வரும் நிலையில் தேசிய சகவாழ்வு கலந்துரையாடல்கள் மற்றும் அரச கர்ம மொழிகள் அமைச்சு என புதிதாக ஒரு அமைச்சு உருவாக்கப்பட்டிருக்கின்றது. இது வரவேற்கத்தக்க ஒன்று. இது காலத்தின் தேவையும் கூட. கடந்த அரசாங்கத்தின் காலத்திலும் அரச கர்ம மொழிகளுக்கான அமைச்சு ஒன்று இருந்துள்ள போதிலும் அதன் செயற்பாடுகள் போதுமான அளவுக்கு மக்களை சென்றடையவில்லை. இந்த பின்னணியில் தற்போது அமைக்கப்பட்டிருக்கும் தேசிய சகவாழ்வு கலந்துரையாடல்கள் மற்றும் அரச கர்ம மொழிகளுக்கான அமைச்சு பொறுப்பு அதிகமானதாக இருக்கின்றது என்றே நான் கருதுகிறேன். இந்த அரசாங்கத்தில் நல்லிணக்க முயற்சிகளில் இந்த அமைச்சுக்குள்ள பாத்திரமும் முக்கியமானது. இந்த அமைச்சு தேசிய சகவாழ்வு கலந்துரையாடல்கள் மற்றும் அரச கர்ம மொழிகள் அமுலாக்கல் என்று 3 இலக்குகளில் செயற்பட வேண்டியதாக இருக்கின்றது. இந்த 3 இலக்குகளும் ஒன்றுடனொன்று தொடர்புடையவையேதான். நாட்டில் இன நெருக்கடி மோசமடைவதற்கு அனைத்து இன மக்களிடையே பரஸ்பர புரிந்துணர்வு இல்லாமையும் மொழி பிரச்சனையும் அடிப்படையாக அமைந்து வருகிறது. அந்த வகையில் மக்களிடையே சகவாழ்வை ஏற்படுத்துவதற்கு தேவையான கலந்துரையாடல்களை பல்வேறு மட்டங்களில் அமைச்சு ஏற்பாடு செய்கின்றது. கௌரவ அமைச்சர் மனோகணேசன் அவர்கள் தான் சகவாழ்வு போராட்டத்தை ஒன்றையே முன்னெடுப்பதாக அண்மையில் தெரிவித்திருந்தார். அதற்கமையவே அமைச்சின் செயற்பாடுகளும் அமைந்திருந்தாலும் மேலும் சில விடயங்கள் கவனம் செலுத்த வேண்டிய தேவையும் உள்ளது. இனவாதத்தை கிளப்பக்கூடிய உரைகள் சகவாழ்வுக்கு அச்சுறுத்தல் விடுக்கும் வகையில் அமைந்திருப்பதையும் அண்மை காலத்தில் அவதானிக்க முடிகின்றது. இனவாதத்தை கிளப்பி அதில் அரசியல் நடாத்துவதற்கு சிலர் முற்பட்டுகின்றார்கள். மட்டக்களப்பில் அண்மையில் நடைபெற்ற நிகழ்வு இதற்கு உதாரணம். பொது இடங்களில் மட்டுமின்றி ஊடகங்கள், சமூக வலைதளங்கள் இனவாதத்தை கக்கும் வகையில் வெறுப்பூட்டும் பேச்சுக்களும் பதிவுகளும் இடம்பெறுகின்றன. இவற்றை அனுமதிக்க கூடாது. தேசிய சகவாழ்வுக்கு அச்சுறுத்தலாக அமையும் இவ்விடயங்கள் குறித்து சகவாழ்வு அமைச்சு அதிக அக்கறை காட்ட வேண்டும். இனவாதத்தை பரப்புவோரை தண்டிக்கும் வகையில் தற்போதைய சட்டங்கள் எதுவும் இல்லை என தெரிவிக்கப்படுகின்றது. இருந்தாலும் குற்றவியல் தண்டனை கோவை சட்டத்தின் கீழ் அவர்களை கையாள வேண்டிய தேவை இருக்கின்றது. இல்லையெனில் தம்மை எதுவும் செய்ய முடியாது என்று துணிச்சலுடன் அவர்கள் செயற்படக்கூடும். சகவாழ்வுக்கான செயற்திட்டங்கள் முன்னெடுக்கும் போது ஊடகங்கள் ஆதரவு அதற்கு அவசியமானதாக இருக்கின்றது. ஊடகங்களில் ஆதாரம் இல்லாமல் சகவாழ்வுக்கான செயற்பாட்டை முன்னெடுக்க முடியாது. அதே வகையில் யாழ்ப்பாணத்தில் மாத்திரையிலும் ஊடகவியலருக்கான அமைச்சினால் ஏற்பாடு செய்யப்பட்ட செயல் அமர்வு முக்கியமானவை. இவ்வாறான செயல் அமர்வுகளால் மூலம் இரு இன ஊடகவியலாளரிடையும் கலந்துரையாடல்களும் ஏற்படுத்த முடியும் என்பதுடன் சகவாழ்வுக்கான புரிந்துணர்வு ஏற்படுத்த முடியும். திட்டமிட்ட முறையில் இவ்வாறான செயற்திட்டங்கள் எதிர்காலத்திலும் விரிவுபடுத்தப்பட்டு முன்னெடுக்கப்பட வேண்டும். ஊடகவியலாளர்கள் மூலமாக மக்கள் மத்தியில் கலந்துரையாடல்களையும் சகவாழ்வையும் முன்னெடுக்க முடியும் என்பதால் இவ்வாறான செயற்திட்டங்கள் அவசியமாகின்றது. கௌரவ சபைக்கு தலைமை தாங்கும் உறுப்பினர் அவர்களே, 1956 சிங்களம் அரச கர்ம மொழியாக பிரகடனம் செய்யப்பட்டதன் மூலம் இரு இனங்களுக்கு இடையில் பிளவு தீவிரம் பெற்றது. இந்த பிளவை பயன்படுத்தி அரசியலை நடாத்தியவர்கள் இரு தரப்பிலும் இருந்துள்ளார்கள். இதன் தொடர்ச்சியாகத்தான் கொடூரமான போர் ஒன்றையும் தாங்க முடியாத இழப்புகளையும் நாம் அனுபவித்தோம். இந்த நிலை மீண்டும் வரக்கூடாது என்றால் வரலாற்றில் நாம் படித்தவற்றை மறக்கக்கூடாது. அதனால்தான் சொல்கிறேன், இனவாதத்தை தூண்டும் வகையில் செயற்படுபவர்களை சட்டத்தின் முன்பாக நிறுத்த வேண்டும். அவர்கள் சுதந்திரமாக செயற்படுவதற்கு அனுமதிப்பது என்பது அவர்களை ஊக்குவிப்பதாக அமைந்துவிடும். சகவாழ்வையும் நல்லிணக்கத்தையும் அது பாதிக்கும். சகவாழ்வை பாதிக்கும் இவ்வாறான செயற்திட்டங்கள் சகவாழ்வு அமைச்சு அவதானமாக இருக்க வேண்டும். கௌரவ சபைக்கு தலைமை தாங்கும் உறுப்பினர் அவர்களே, இந்த அமைச்சின் மற்றும் ஒரு முக்கியமான பணி அரச கரும மொழிகள் என குறிப்பிடப்படுகின்றது. நாட்டில் மும்மொழி கொள்கை நடைமுறைப்படுத்துவதே இது குறிக்கும். தமிழ் மக்களை பொறுத்தவரையில் தமிழ் மொழியில் கடமையாற்ற அவர்கள் முன்னுரிமை கொடுக்கின்றார்கள். சிங்களம் மட்டும் அரச கரும மொழி என பிரகடனப்பட்டிருந்த நிலை மாற்றமடைந்து இப்போது தமிழ் மொழியும் அரச கரும மொழியாக அங்கீகாரம் பட்டிருந்தாலும் கூட அதனை நடைமுறைப்படுத்துவதில் தொடர்ந்தும் இடையூறுகள் இருக்கத்தான் செய்கின்றது. சிங்கள மொழி ஆதிக்கத்தில் இருந்து சில அதிகாரிகள் இன்னும் விடுபடவில்லை. தமிழுக்குரிய அந்தஸ்தையும் அங்கீகாரத்தையும் அவர்கள் ஏற்றுக்கொள்ள தயங்குகிறார்கள். இந்த நிலை மாற்றப்பட வேண்டும். தமிழ் மக்கள் தமது அன்றாட கடமைகளை தமது தாய்மொழியிலேயே செய்யக்கூடிய நிலை ஏற்படுத்துவதற்கு அவசியம். தாய்மொழி கொள்கை என்பது அதுதான். அரச அலுவலகங்களிலும் பொது நிறுவனங்களிலும் தமிழ் மொழியிலேயே தமது தேவைகளை பெற்றுக்கொள்ளக்கூடிய நிலை இருக்க வேண்டும். அவ்வாறில்லாமல் தமிழ் மொழியை தேசிய மொழியாக பிரகடனம் செய்திருப்பதில் அர்த்தமளிக்கப் போவதில்லை. இந்த வகையில் அமைச்சர் கௌரவ மனோகணேசன் அவர்கள் ஆரோக்கியமான செயற்பாடுகள் சிலவற்றை செய்துள்ளார் என்பதை காண முடிகின்றது. இவ்விடயத்தில் அமைச்சரவை பத்திரம் ஒன்றை முன்வைத்து அதற்கான அங்கீகாரத்தையும் அவர் பெற்றிருக்கின்றார். பொது இடங்களில் மும்மொழியில் அறிவித்தல்கள் வெளியிடப்பட வேண்டும் என்பது இதில் முக்கியமானது. திணைக்களங்களில் பணியாட்களுக்காக நடாத்தப்படும் கருத்தரங்குகள், செயலமர்வுகள் தமிழ் மொழியிலும் நடாத்தப்பட வேண்டும். இதனை விட சுற்று நிருபங்கள், அறிக்கைகள் தமிழ் மொழியிலும் இடம்பெற வேண்டும் என்பது அமைச்சரின் முயற்சியால் கட்டாயமாக்கப்பட்டிருக்கின்றது. அமைச்சரின் இந்த முயற்சி வரவேற்பத்தக்க வேண்டிய ஒன்று. அதே வேளையில் இதனை முழு அளவில்
we have a flashlight directed at us and we feel not very comfortable and we would like to know what is going on in the gallery.
ஐடிஎன் ஆயத்தனையும் மே பரீட்சணையாக மே டாக்குமெண்ட்ரிக்காக மே சாதாகனோ ஏ சதாத்தமா ஏ
கிரியாவலியான்
கதாநாயகத்துமாக அவசர அத்துவத்தமா மே கிரியாவல் சித்தவேன்.
Please don't, please just give me my time.
Yeah, okay.
அமைச்சரின் இந்த முயற்சி வரவேற்கத்தக்கப்பட வேண்டிய ஒன்று. அதே வேளையில் இதனை முழு அளவில் நடைமுறைப்படுத்துவதில் இருக்கக்கூடிய பிரச்சனைகள் தீர்க்கப்பட வேண்டும். ஒரு இருமொழி அறிவுள்ள உத்தியோகத்தர்கள் பற்றாக்குறையைத்தான் இதனை நடைமுறைப்படுத்துவதில் உள்ள பிரதான தடை. அதனை நீக்குவதற்கான முயற்சிகளும் முன்னெடுக்கப்பட வேண்டிய இருக்கின்றன. ஆனால் அது போதுமான அளவு இல்லை. சிங்கள உத்தியோகத்தர்களுக்கு தமிழ் மொழியிலும் தமிழ் உத்தியோகத்தர்களுக்கு சிங்கள மொழியிலும் பயிற்சி அளிக்கப்படுவதன் மூலமாகத்தான் இந்த பிரச்சனைக்கு தீர்வுகளாக முடியும். அமைச்சின் மூலமாக மொழி பயிற்சி வகுப்புகள் நடத்தப்பட்டாலும் அது போதுமானதாக இல்லை. மொழி பயிற்சிகள் மேலதிக நிதி ஒதுக்கிடப்பட வேண்டும். இத்திட்டம் மேலும் விரிவாக்கப்பட வேண்டும். இருமொழி அறிவு கொண்டுள்ள உத்தியோகத்தர்களின் எண்ணிக்கையை அதிகரிப்பதற்கான செயற்திட்டம் அவசியம். இதன் மூலமாகவே தமிழ் மக்கள் தமது அன்றாட செயற்பாடுகளை தமது தாய்மொழியிலேயே செய்யக்கூடிய நிலை ஏற்படுத்த முடியும். சகவாழ்வு என்ற இலக்கை அடைவதற்கு இது அவசியம். கௌரவ சபைக்கு தலைமை தாங்கும் உறுப்பினர் அவர்களே, தேசிய சகவாழ்வு கலந்துரையாடல் மற்றும் அரசு கரும மொழிகள் அமைச்சு இன்றைய காலகட்டத்தில் முக்கியமான ஒன்று. அமைச்சின் குறிக்கோளை அடைவதற்கு கௌரவ அமைச்சர் மனோகணேசன் அவர்கள் ஆரோக்கியமான திட்டங்கள் பலவற்றை வகுத்திருக்கின்றார். ஆனால் அதனை முழுமையாக நடைபெறுத்துவதில்
கௌரவ உறுப்பினர்களை நிறைவு செய்யுங்கள். உங்களுடைய காலம் முடிவடை
ஆனால் அதனை முழுமையாக நடைமுறைப்படுத்துவதில் இருக்கக்கூடிய தடைகள் அடையாளம் கண்டு காணப்பட வேண்டும். அதனை தீர்ப்பதற்கான செயற்பாடுகள் முன்னெடுக்கப்பட வேண்டும். தமிழ் மக்களின் மனங்களை வெல்வதிலும் அவர்களுக்கு தாமும் இந்த நாட்டின் பிரஜைகள் தான் என்பதில் நம்பிக்கையை கொடுப்பதிலும் இந்த அமைச்சின் பணி முக்கியமானது. அந்த வகையில் இந்த அமைச்சின் பணி சிறப்பாக அமைய அனைவரும் ஒத்துழைக்க வேண்டும் என கேட்டு என்னுடைய இந்த உரையை முடித்துக் கொள்கிறேன். நன்றி.
நன்றி கௌரவ சரவணபவன்.
ஆன்ரபிள் பிரசைடிங் மெம்பர், ஐ இன் ஃபேக்ட் ஐ ஆம் கோயிங் டு கிவ் few matters that has to be considered very seriously, but unfortunately not much members are here to listen to this. Anyway, I really want to be positive and productive. However, no matter what we speak or do, the result seems to be the same. There will be enough attempts to justify why things could not get better and why we should be more and more patient. When the international community speak about human rights, social and economic justice, Sri Lanka task cover under sovereign Sri Lanka not up for lecture and try and shut them up. Unfortunately, implementation of human rights in Sri Lanka is the mercy of corrupt judiciary, bureaucracy, security forces, politicians, and is suffering due to lack of political conviction. Human rights champions are still being intimidated even under a good governance in this government. The way minority is treated will express who are as a country and as possible. Changing political climate of an unaccessible majority and a corrupt state system has the luxury of dispensing human rights at their convenience. It is also able to justify it as democracy at work. I want to very clearly place on record the national reconciliation is not just a matter for Colombo to contemplate and conjure a success path to achieve. The victims of war are the minority. I don't believe it requires statistics to prove my statement. It is in my every facet of our living we were decimated. We realize that there is a sense of frustration from some extremists in the majority community that they were not able to finish the business and are gearing up for another pogrom to ensure that there is no such thing as Tamil-speaking people, Sri Lankans in Sri Lanka. His Excellency the President, in the launch of National Programme on Reconciliation, recently said that he witnessed how anti-government forces branded the programme as federal reconciliation. He forecast those who cast such results will have to cry someday. Source: Onur website. I quote from the report by Lessons Learnt and Reconciliation Commission, page 387. The process of reconciliation requires a full acknowledgement of the tragedy of the conflict and a collective act of contrition by the political leaders and civil society of both Sinhala and Tamil communities. The conflict could have been avoided had the southern political leaders of the two main political parties acted in the national interest and forged a consensus between them to offer an acceptable solution to the Tamil people. We don't seem to be improving, and the victims of all these are the minorities. I want to list out some of the landmarks in our post-independence political history But due to lack of time, I'm just going to mention in two words, 1956 and the Single Only Act, and subsequently 1957, S.W.R.D. Bandaranaike tried to find a solution which Bandar-Selva Pact never took place. Then Dudley Selvanayake sought to address this problem in 1967, but once again, it didn't materialize. In 1971-72, the government of Srimava Bandaranaike adopted a new constitution. In that, Article 29 of the Solberi Constitution, which protected the minorities, were removed. The government also introduced standardization to limit the numbers which enter the university, especially from the north and east. And
order,
the
please.
Said episode...
Order, please. Honorable Mujibur Rahman, take the chair.
Yes.
And the said episode to this now is 65% of the science faculty students in the Jaffna University are not from the northern province. Tamils were set up by extremists whenever we protested in 1958, 61, 1966, 1971, 1977, 1981, and in 1983. We must also remember the burning of the Jaffna library with over 97,000 books and rare manuscripts. The purpose of reminding all these is we can see that a carefully orchestrated replay of this event is being attempted, and the opportunity that we have now for a political solution also may be squandered, and we will be asked to suffer one more time. We need true statesmanship and political will for meaningful and sustainable reconciliation and national integration. No amount of superficial measures and fancy ceremonies are going to achieve national reconciliation. The first step in reconciliation is to list out the types of impact of war on the people that are still unaddressed, especially of the women. These people are suffering in silence. Their voices are not heard. And we have ceremonies in large auditoriums and shaking hands and doing dances. These people are unable to feed their kids. They do not have any hope for a future. They are being taken advantage of by all and sundry. They don't even see these pretty pictures of the dancers and handshakes. They must first get back on their feet. They must have some hope for a future. They must get a stable and sustainable livelihood, and their confidence must be lifted before we achieve national integration and reconciliation. Until such time, all these dances and handshakes are playing into the hands of the extremists, so they could make it an issue. In our view, peace will be achieved when the suffering people are at peace with themselves. This will apply to every single poverty-stricken person of this country, be the Sinhalese or Tamil. Otherwise, they will be pawns in the lands of the corrupt politicians and manipulators. His Excellency said at the recent ceremony that it's pity to underestimate the activeness and necessity of national unity and reconciliation. What the country imperatively needs today is the implementation of a common agenda to build a country with the support of everyone. He added that the future of the nation should not be dominated for personal agendas. He called on those who underestimate this work not to play with the lives of the innocent citizens of this country. Source, ONUR website. ONUR is mandated to lead, facilitate, and support initiatives related to national unity and reconciliation in Sri Lanka. Its website does not list out what has been done so far and how many people have been helped, what plans have been developed, how and how many vulnerable women have been helped. However, we see the pictures of the dancers. The last one of the 8 programs listed by Honor has livelihood development, and under that it says Honor is already working with several organizations who are active at grassroots level to facilitate livelihood development initiatives for female-headed households who were deprived of opportunities due to the direct impact of the conflict. Listing the numbers who were helped, what measures were taken, and what is the success rate, etc., would help to raise confidence and reconciliation. There are countless victims of the war, such as school children, teachers, war widows, orphans, and people who have been emotionally and economically marginalized due to war. We need to create a safe community and provide psychological and livelihood support to those who are being further marginalized and are on a steady decline. The villagers need facilities for personal transformation, capacity development, confidence building, psychological and physical spaces, and system enabling people together as community groups, and to inspire them to make collective decisions, protect each other, and drive them to action. They must be guided from poverty and dependency to independence and self-sufficiency that will lead to peace and reconciliation. Reconciliation is also not just a matter for senior politicians to visit the most vulnerable of this country and promise to give them some immediate relief or offer redress for specific injustices. That is good for evening news and not for sustainable reconciliation. There must be deeper commitment and real intentions, otherwise we will continue to have festering wound in the Sri Lankan body. We were asked to feel the graciousness of the nation when the national anthem was able to be sung in Tamil. We were asked to feel good when the white van stopped coming. We were asked to feel good when a few political prisoners were released. We are now continuously being asked to feel good when some politicians utter some reconciliatory speech. If you look at the website of the Ministry of National Integration and Reconciliation, it does not like a subject matter that has a sense of urgency. There is again no information of what specific action to lift the victims from the hopelessness they are suffering. We need to lift their confidence and hope for a better future. No point in asking them how they feel about reconciliation, because they will not know. Please don't keep announcing a whole lot of good things. Just promise a few, but deliver it. No one is becoming mesmerized by the lofty words of the intentions of the government when the implementation track record is not very good. We need action, a coordinated, cohesive action that will transform to reconciliation and peace. We need commitment and leadership. We are left to feel again that there is an orchestrated campaign being engineered, and we do not know the scale and shape of it, but we certainly know that the victims will be Tamils. We have seen all these over many years, repeated over and over again. Attacking the Tamil is a stock in trade for corrupt politicians, and have been for many years, and is always time to stop sharing power to fellow Sri Lankans. These dramas generally take place at critical junctures. We are once again reminded of all our past broken promises, and potential repeat of a popular drama appears too in the offering now, even now. Even at this juncture, some politicians of the two main parties are resorting to their popular drama script and sowing the seeds of discontents and divisions. The previous Sri Lankan government announced several years ago to the whole world that the war is well and truly over. The formidable defense posture of conventional forces stationed in the kind and scale present in the northeast of Sri Lanka cannot be justified as for national security needs. What kind of war are you expecting from the Tamils? It is disingenuous to try and argue that the presence of such large security forces is a national security requirement. Although the state of emergency, which had been in place for almost three decades, was lifted in August 2012, many of the extraordinary powers of the 1979 Prevention of Terrorism Act, PTA, still remains. John Fisher, Geneva, director at the Human Rights Watch, said in September 15, an early test of the government's sincerity will be if the Prevention of Terrorism Act is repealed and not simply replaced by another bad law with another name. There were a number of promises made to release all political prisoners, and it is still not taken seriously. Addressing the socio-economic needs of the war-affected Northeast is a fundamental prerequisite to facilitate post-war reconciliation in this country. We recognize that the ground realities and context have changed. We recognize it is time to be looking forward and give this great opportunity for permanent peace our best efforts, because we helped to elect our president and we owe it to our people and, for the matter, for all Sri Lankans. The promised Tokyo Donor Conference to address the needs of the war-ravaged Northeast has not taken place, and there has never been any announcement why or of any alternate arrangements. Promises are too easily being ignored, and more lofty words are being stated, but very little results in action. Absence of war is not a peace. All the state structures that were the cause of the conflict and the mindset is still intact, and we reminded of these facts on a regular basis. A comprehensive needs assessment must be carried out in war-affected Northeast as a prerequisite for regional rehabilitation and development for the following reasons. To improve the availability of accurate, quantifiable information on residual humanitarian needs. The needs assessment should not simply be a matter of finding out a wish list. Listed must reflect a holistic approach to uplift our war-affected society. Capacity building at all levels of our society is key to reconciliation. Targeted initiatives for reconciliation development, regional development, with initiatives tailored specifically to individual villages and districts, are engaging the beneficiaries in a participatory manner with community consultations in designing and execution will be the key for sustainability. Large infrastructure projects and large-scale business will take a long time to benefit the people directly in the war-ravaged North and East. These projects will only have limited ability to engage locals in rebuilding and recovery, particularly by women, disabled, and other vulnerable. What is required is solutions, what addresses the specific needs of people and lead to actual community restoration and village levels. Human capacity development at individual, villages, and institutional levels is paramount for sustainable development in our regions. Vocational and skills development, training to households, persons active in the trade sector, and youth in construction-related services. Let us look at the local government system. In order to revamp the local government bodies and to prepare them to take over higher order development responsibilities, the previous government in 2009 developed and gazetted a national policy on local government after the war, but not yet implemented. As a government geared towards developing the rural economy and committed to a greater devolution and power sharing, it should implement the recommendation in the policy document forthwith. TNA is committed to achieving a bright future for the Sri Lankan Tamil community in a united Sri Lanka, in which all citizens can live in dignity, equality, and self-respect. To this end, we are working for a durable political solution through meaningful devolution of power. In conclusion, I wish to outline a way forward. We are announcing that we are constructively engaging with the government in its reconciliation and devolution process. Therefore, we ask the government to be sensitive and not give mixed signals that could damage the credibility of this process, as we too cannot miss this opportunity to achieve a permanent and lasting reconciliation. We recognize that 30 years of war has destroyed and human capacity to even engage in this mammoth task of rehabilitation and development in a meaningful way. But this is an important step to reconciliation that we will must try and find ways to do.
Honorable Bema, you have another 4 minutes more.
We will require significant external professional expertise to even participate in the planning for recovery at every level of our society. We have had many expressions of noble intentions for reconciliation and rebuilding from various Sri Lankan governments and leaders. In our history of reconciliation, we have a long list of resolutions, recommendations, and action plans, and every one of which would have benefited but never implemented. The major issue in the past had been the lack of political will to look beyond immediate political gains. What is required is the long-term interest of the country, a consensus at least broadly on the subject. We believe that the government of today is in a position to do and has the impetus to do. The Buddhist monk in Batticolo district is disturbing the community, communal and amity and unity, and fanned communal flames by his impetuous act. If no proper measure is taken to dissuade him from committing such dastardly act, what he does will adversely affect the process of national reconciliation for which concerted efforts are made now. Therefore, if we are going to concentrate seriously with the reconciliation process, national reconciliation, first and foremost, update your honour with the information what you all are doing genuinely, not merely by giving that you have given so much there, so much here, not that. That's not going to satisfy us. Secondly, how long you are going to allow this Buddhist monk's problem in Batticolo? Why you are not taking any notice of this? Then what's the big idea of talking about reconciliation? The people in Batticolo, the entire East is in a panic situation. At what time? When the communal violence could erupt at any time. Not only that. There are so many other commitments there. You have not fulfilled. Without concentrating on the development simultaneously. What have you done? You are talking about the average provincial level, but it will never happen unless you allocate more finance to the north and east.
Another 1 minute more, honorable member.
So you have to consider a number of basic requirements. Without that, why are you having a ministry for national reconciliation? And there is an office for national unity and reconciliation. What's the big idea? So therefore, start from the bottom, if you are serious. Hand over the lands back to the owners. Those who are under the custody of the forces. Hand over those back first. Without having that, how can you go and convince the people? You can never convince the people.
Yes. Honorable member, time is over.
The president promised a time limit. It is not happening. That's what I am repeating this. So the president or the prime minister answer this question. And also this is to give back the lands who are the soul. Yeah, it is in speech there in Jaffna. So therefore,
time is over.
Just 1 minute, please. Therefore, what I am trying to explain, that Minister, it's good that you are here. Start with the bottom. So you can't jump and do overnight a reconciliation. You have to start from the bottom. You have to satisfy. Speak in English.
He can't speak from
that. Honorable Minister, I'm not talking only about the lands. Yes, yes, yes. Minister? No, I'm not talking only about the lands. Now, if you look at it, being a sports minister, you can see the 9th province is the northern province in the sports. You can easily see all the other... Ground is...
Honorable Member, your time limit is over.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Honorable H.M. Fauzi.
Chairman, sir, let me thank you for giving me this opportunity of explaining briefly the program and challenges of the Ministry of National Integration and Reconciliation. You are well aware that this ministry is headed by His Excellency Maithripala Sirisena, President of the Republic of Sri Lanka, with myself as the State Minister. We are a young ministry. We are yet to complete the first year of the ministry effective establishment. We in the ministry do clearly understand the importance of the issues and the role of this ministry. The previous speaker made a lot of requests which will be considered, and as we are still young, very soon we will be able to fulfill all these requirements. We are also conscious of the challenges before us. We have been guided by His Excellency the President himself. In addition, former President Madam Chandrika Bandaranaike Kumaratunga, the Honorable Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, and Honorable Members of Parliament from all political parties have encouraged us in fulfilling this national responsibility. The problems on the road to achieving national integration and reconciliation are no doubt many. The problems need careful handling. They are, however, not insurmountable. If you look around our Asian region, we can see a large number of countries which have achieved all-round advancement. The people in several of these countries have concentrated on economic progress more than on religious or racial similar issues. They have already achieved better living standards for their people. Race, language, culture, and religion are respected in those countries, but they are not the main or the national issues facing them. Here in Sri Lanka, issues relating to the race, religion, language, and culture are often being exploited to divide the people instead of using this mechanism for uniting them. We talk less of our common Sri Lankan identity, but talk more on our religious, communal, linguistic, and regional identities. No doubt all communities have problems. The government is committed to solving them. The government is addressing them, issue by issue. However, we cannot achieve reconciliation or national integration without unity. The main task that the government hopes to achieve through our ministry is striving to establish in Sri Lanka social cohesion and national unity while respecting our differences. At the January 2015 presidential election and the August 2015 general elections, the people of this country had given a clear mandate to achieve durable peace through reconciliation and national integration. The government led by President His Excellency Maithripala Sirisena and Prime Minister Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe with the people will take this country towards economic prosperity and national integration. Since ancient times, people belonging to different communities lived in peace and harmony in this country. Sadly, after attaining independence, our inability to sustain and manage the spirit of that brotherhood paved the way for a disastrous conflict. As a result of this brutal conflict, we have gone back a few decades while other countries have progressed. Nevertheless, today we have a golden opportunity to be united as a single nation. Keeping aside all our differences, hence it should be our ardent desire to make full use of the given opportunity to lay a firm foundation to raise our country as a strong, reconciled, and prosperous nation. It is also obligatory to the victims to overcome their grievances without deferment. It is also our firm responsibility to prevent the re-emergence of another dark era in our country. National integration is a feeling of togetherness or oneness towards one's own country, irrespective of individual differences with regard to religion, race, culture, language, region, or caste. When individuals are nationally integrated, they may feel a unique sense of pride and patriotism. Sri Lanka is a multi-religious, multi-ethnic, and multilingual country. Despite these diversities, the people of Sri Lanka feel that they are children of Mother Lanka. This is unity in diversity. The misunderstanding is caused by poverty, illiteracy, lack of integration, disrespect for diversity, isolation and disparities. National integration is a process of establishing national consciousness and a feeling of loyalty and patriotism to the motherland. Today, no country in the world can claim a single ethnic identity. Different communities live side by side in a province or district, and all of them belong to the same nation. A wide range of diversity in dress, language, culture, food, behavior, and ways of living can be easily noticed among people of different regions and religions. It is our responsibility to make the people aware of the importance of national integration. The process of national integration is under threat due to diverse forces such as communalism, racism, regionalism, and extremism. We need to deal with these threats effectively and urgently. We appeal to your sincere cooperation in handling these challenges. We are thankful to His Excellency Maithripala Sirisena, President of the country, for closely monitoring the progress of our ministry despite its busy national schedule. We are also thankful for the assistance readily rendered by the officials of the Presidential Secretariat, Office of the Honorable Prime Minister's Office, Office of our Ministry and State Ministry, and the Office of the National Unity and Reconciliation, ONUR, parliamentary staff, the religious and civil society, principal staff, and students of schools and the media. We have set off the people's projects already executed and programmed, which are under consideration for implementation. Following necessary approvals will be considered. Projects and programs. First, promote national integration and reconciliation among school community. A new meaning for students' life. Schools can play an effective role in promoting and nurturing national integration and reconciliation among younger generation and future leaders of the country. The programs identify school children as change agents in their family and society. A. Assembly speech program. In schools and on assembly day, a student is given an opportunity to deliver a speech on national integration and reconciliation for 5 minutes to create awareness among school children and teachers, which is expected to have an immediate impact through the family to the society. B. Art and essay writing competition for school children. This helps creatively and firm up the concept of national integration through drawings, essays, articles and cartoons to get a broader and deeper understanding for school children. A competition is held at different levels, district, provincial and national levels for the winners, with certificates and other prizes to promote national integration. C. Short stories and poem writings. Competition for school teachers. The teachers who are champions to create change agents are given opportunities to expand their knowledge, talents and skills on national integration and reconciliation by innovative and creative pieces of work on attractive and effective short stories and poems to communicate and mainstream the concept. The winners of district, provincial and national levels are given certificates and prizes to people to promote and encourage national integration. Inter-village exchanges, number two, program. National program to hold hands to promote reconciliation. Under this program, there is an inactive exchange program conducted for North and South community, whereby different communities from different villages get connected and stay and engage with a particular village to understand their food habits, culture, way and style of living, and exchange cultural and religious beliefs with a view to eliminate the misunderstanding and ensure integration and harmony. Under this program, initially, village leaders, including business leaders, religious leaders, professionals, civil society representatives and government officials undergo the exchange program. Such programs is organized covering Mathura and Jaffna, with 42 leaders visiting Jaffna. Similarly, a program is organized to have an exchange program between Jaffna and Ambanthatta. 3. Dham Pasa Teachers Training Program. The objective of this program is to provide the knowledge on integration and reconciliation to the Dham Pasa teachers and empower them so that their teachers in turn could deliver the programs to the Dham Pasa students. The children and youth are targeted, which also leads to change their families and communities. Already 1,400 Dham Pasa teachers have been trained in Moratuwa, Ratnalana, Deyula, Maragama, Omagama, Kaduvala, Kalambu, Kolanava, Timbikasa and Kota, etc. Office of the National Unity and Integration. Office of the National Integration and Reconciliation has been established under the Ministry of National Integration and Reconciliation on 8th April 2015 and subsequently brought under the Ministry of National Integration and Reconciliation. It is headed by the former President, Excellency Madam Chandrika Bandaranaike Kumaratunga. Projects implemented. 1. Economic engagement program in North and East provinces. The program comprises of A. Livelihood program for conflict affected North and East community, which includes support for agriculture, livestock development, fisheries, micro and small enterprises development, tree planting programs, coconut, mango, pineapple, pomegranate and palm, etc. B. infrastructure development in selected villages, community water supply, infrastructure for schools, etc. C. Enterprises based village development, 34 villages have been selected, one each from 1 DS division, covering 5 districts in Northern Province. 427 rainwater harvesting units have been completed in Jaffna and Kilinochi and handed over to their beneficiaries. 200 rainwater harvesting units have been established under this project to the district of Jaffna. 100 units and Kilinochi, 100 units. One unit can hold 8,000 liters and per unit cost is about 76,000 rupees. 3,000 rainwater harvesting units are to be established with the support of the Government of India. 2 multi-religious and cultural festivals. 5 religious and cultural programs, namely Thai Pongal, Singala and Tamil New Year, Possum, Ramadan and Christmas are celebrated in schools with the active involvement of students, teachers and parents.
Honourable Member, another 2 minutes more.
Thank you. 94 such programs have been completed and over to 28,000 students in 828 schools have participated. The National Reconciliation Policy. National Reconciliation Policy has been prepared in consultation with the government agencies, private sector, civil societies, academia and victims organization, etc. This policy was submitted to the Cabinet of Ministers and awaiting for approval. 4. Conflict Transformation Project Interfaith Dialogue. This program is intended to promote interfaith dialogue, including inter-ethnic and intercultural dialogue, to promote national unity and reconciliation. Under this program, religious priests, government officials and village leaders have provided training of trainers. Programs to be changed agents and educate to facilitate inter-ethnic harmony at grassroots level. 32 TOT have been trained to lead the national unity and reconciliation process. By end October 2016, about 121 one-day workshops were completed in Jaffna, Anuradhapura and Ratnapura district with 3,224 multi-religious participants who will in turn advocate at grassroots level. 5. Art and Culture for Reconciliation. This program is indeed intended to ensure durable reconciliation process through production of films, dramas, paintings and cartoon competition and related activities. The production of film is being produced by world-renowned film directors. Selected cartoons will be demonstrated through an exhibition for reconciliation and create awareness on national integration. 6. Language program established on bilingual and trilingual resource support. Under the project, 301 translators have been selected through competition exam in Department of Examination by ONUR in coordination with the Department of Official Language, and they have been placed in their website with contact details and they can be...
Honourable Member, the time is over.
1 minute. And government trades for information. 7. Education and social coercion. I will table my speech so that you will get into the to NSAD. And finally, I want to thank the Honourable Minister, President Maithripala Sirisena, Madam Chandrika Bandaranaike Kumarathunga, Chairperson of the Office of the National Unity and Reconciliation, and the Secretary, B. Sivanyana Murthy, State Secretary, Mr. M.M. Zuhair, and staff of the Ministry, and ONUR for their contribution to discharge the mandate of the Ministry. Thank you.
Thank you. Garu Amatya Harshadi Silva.
Bomisuti Sabapatumani Mama Dakka, Porter Kalin, Garu Mahindananda, Alukamage, Matuma Metana, may other Vivaldi, Samandela, Prasnahamin Hita, Tosima, Mahindananda, Amatuma, Mahitabu Amatuma, Mantuma, Onge, Kandam, Venuin, Luku Vadagota Sakana, Etumai, E. Metana Katakara, Garu Sumandran, Mantuma. Sumandita Mantritumat, may someone look at a good sucker not TNA Paxian win. Api Andu Pate no extra Jataka Paxi. Apitundanama Ekata Iskole Gihila Eka Pantiola had it may Daru other may Garusabave Inno Etokora Kanda and Tuna Neogenekan Pudulu had yet a Mangitane Apita Puluang Menone may Sabavedi. මේ අපේ එදා ඉස්කෝලේ ගිය දවසේ තිබිච්ච ශ්‍රී ලංකාව නැවතත් ගොඩනගන්න හෘද සාක්ෂියට අනුව ඒ වැඩපිළිවෙලට ඇත්ත වශයෙන්ම හදවතින්ම සම්බන්ධයි. ඉතින් මම ඒ කතාව කිව්වේ අපේ මිත්‍ර අලුගමගේ මැතිතුමත් මේ සම්බන්ධයෙන් කතා කරන්න මදන කතා කරාද කතා කරන්න ලෑස්ති වෙන නිසා. මම කැමති මේ අවස්ථාවේදී ගරු සභාපතිතුමනි දැන් මේ අවුරුදු දෙක ඇතුලේ මොනවද මේ සංහිඳියාව සම්බන්ධයෙන් අතවසෙම වෙලා තියෙන්නේ කියලා කරුණු කීපයක් මේ අවස්ථාවේදී සභාගත කරන්න. Honorable Chairman, I speak in English because I can't speak in Tamil. One other thing, it's භාෂා තුනම කතා කරන්න පුළුවන් ඇමතිවරු දෙන්නෙක් තමයි මේ අමාත්‍යාංශ දෙකේ ඉන්නේ. ගරු අපේ මේ ෆෞසි අමතුමා සහ අපේ මනෝ ගණේෂ නැමතුමා. නමුත් මට හැකියාව නැති නිසා මේ අවස්ථාවේ ඉංග්‍රීසියෙන් කතා කරන්න මොකද දෙමළ කට්ටියට ඉංග්‍රීසි තේරෙන නිසා. Honorable Chairman, in January 2015, we discontinued the practice of issuing a presidential proclamation under the Public Security Ordinance declaring a state of emergency, calling out the armed forces and giving them extensive powers to regulate civilian life. I'm trying to list out a series of actions the government has taken for reconciliation and good governance since this government came to office. Then again in January we appointed a Tamil person as the governor of the central bank. Now that person's term was not extended, but ironically it was yet another Tamil person who has been appointed as the new governor of the central bank, Mr. Indrajit Kumaraswamy. Then we removed the military governors of North and East and replaced them with civilians. Then we restored and enhanced media freedom. We in fact ended the censorship of websites, withdrew restrictions on foreign journalists visiting Sri Lanka and invited exiled journalists to return to Sri Lanka with promise of safety. We see how those cases are now being heard in courts. We then appointed as the senior most judge of the Supreme Court, again an ethnic Tamil, as the Chief Justice, that is Mr. Honorable Lordship K. Sri Pawan. Then the NGO secretariat was moved from under the purview of the Ministry of Defence to the Ministry of National Dialogue, coming under Mr. Honorable Manu Ganeshan. We lifted the ban on foreigners visiting the North and East and also restrictions on the transportation of goods to and from the North. Then we placed the Attorney General's Department under the Ministry of Justice rather than the Presidential Secretariat. Then the Department of Immigration and Emigration was removed under the purview of the Ministry of Defence and placed under the Ministry of Internal Affairs where it should theoretically be. Then also we invited all refugees to return to Sri Lanka. Then in February 2016, we passed here the Witness and Victim Protection Act. And it was passed unanimously, Mr. Chairman, without a vote. Then again in February, we departing from the Trumpism of the past, the government made a declaration of peace. At the National Independence Day celebrations, a declaration of peace was made in all three languages, resolving to ensure non-recurrence and to grieve all who succumbed to violence since independence. Then in March 2015, we released a number of people detained under the Prevention of Terrorism Act. Again in March, we sent circulars to all ministers stating that no prohibition of singing the national anthem in Tamil. The practice of singing the national anthem in Tamil had been stopped under previous governments. We arrested certain people in connection with the murder of TNA MP N. Raviraj. Again, the case is currently being heard. We created the Office of the National Unity and Reconciliation, ONUR, which is run under Her Excellency, the former President Chandrika Kumaratunga. Then the President This is in March 2015. Then in April 2015, we all passed the 19th Amendment to the Constitution that re-established democracy through the reduction of presidential power, reintroduction of term limits, and the introduction of independent bodies
for appointment. Honourable Minister, you have another 3 more minutes.
Oversight of key institutions. Can I have, this is important, no? Can I have a little bit more time? I'll get the time from Honourable Lakshman Kirial. Right. So
we have deduct from some other member.
Right, okay. Right. Then in April 2015 again, we received at the invitation of the government a special rapporteur on the promotion of truth, justice and non-recurrence, Pablo de Grief, in a technical advisory capacity. Then in May 2015, Victory Day was renamed Remembrance Day. People all over the country were also allowed to grieve, which had been denied before. Then also in June, we ratified the Palermo Protocol to suppress and punish trafficking in persons, especially women and children, supplementing the UN Convention Against Transnational Organized Crimes. Then in July 2015, the Supreme Court granted leave to proceed with regard to 5 fundamental rights petitions against police inaction during the clashes at Aludgam in 2014. In August 2015, we closed the last checkpoint in the country, the Omantai checkpoint. Then in September 2015, we co-sponsored Resolution 30/1 titled Promoting Reconciliation, Accountability and Human Rights in Sri Lanka. Again in September 2015, TNA lead Honorable Sambandhan MP appointed as a leader of the opposition in Parliament. Cabinet approved the introduction of certificate of absence for those reported missing. This was a serious defect and we've been able to do that. Then again in September 2015, we endorsed the Kigali principles on the protection of civilians. The Constitutional Council, the body responsible for appointing members of the independent commissions, including the Police and Human Rights Commissions, was appointed. Then in October 2015, Sri Lanka joined the Open Government Partnership, which was the only South Asian nation to join the OGP. The Uttalagama and Parnagama Commission reports were made public. We tabled the Commission reports in Parliament. Independent Police, Human Rights and Public Services Commissions were appointed. We also announced the moratorium on the death penalty in October 2015. Then some soldiers were convicted of sexual assault, the Jaffna court, assaulting women. Invited civil society to submit ideas on how to conduct the public consultations process for the development of mechanism of truth-seeking, justice and reparations. This happened in October 2015. In November, we deproscribed diaspora organizations and individuals, 8 in all and 269 individuals. We informed the UN Secretary General of the termination of all derogatory previously notified under the ICCPR, derogations rather, under the ICCPR. UN Working Group on Enforced and Involuntary Disappearances, persons from them visited Sri Lanka in November 2015. Then in January 2016, the Special Rapporteur on the Promotion of Truth, Justice, Reparation and Guarantees of Non-Recurrence visited Sri Lanka for the second time on a technical advisory capacity, Pablo de Grief. Then we destroyed publicly ivory tusks confiscated by customs from the elephant poaching to prevent the trade in black market. We had consultations, the task force on reconciliation mechanisms appointed, protections of all persons from enforced disappearances, and also the cabinet approval was granted for the Right to Information Act. Then in March 2016, again the U.S. Special Coordinator for Global Criminal Justice visited Sri Lanka, Mr. Todd Buchwald. Again in March 2016, we appointed the high-profile and respected individuals as Secretary General of the Secretariat for Coordinating Reconciliation Mechanisms. The first transgender person appointed to a high-level post, governor of the central province. Parliament resolved to sit as a constitutional assembly. That was again in March 2016. The right to information legislation was presented to Parliament. Then the technical working group on steering committee chaired by the Minister of Foreign Affairs appointed to work on reconciliation mechanisms visited South Africa to study the TRC, Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Then in March, April, since I'm running out of time, June, July, August, September of 2016, there is a whole list of activities undertaken by the government of Sri Lanka in order to bring reconciliation, human rights and accountability to Sri Lanka. Honorable Chairman, what I'm going to do is table this document,
okay,
which is up to the end of October 2016 from January of 2015, and I request you to include this in the Hansa.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.